From the studios of WNAA-FM-HD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WNAA-FM-HD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I brought with me today...
Hey, fellas, I am showing up. This is Keith Funderburk.
Just the fellas?
Okay, well, I give this to the ladies. So what's up, ladies? How y'all doing? Can I get a Aggie Pride?
Aggie Pride.
That is, of course, fellas, y'all know how we do it. So look, today, Dr. Funderburk.
Yes, sir.
I got a special theme name for you.
I know, as always.
That's
and
right.
Just like normal, I'm like.
That's right. She never knows what this theme name is for the week.
I don't.
That's right. But you know, Dr. Funderburk, I want you to call me G.I. Keith.
G.I. Keith.
There it is. G.I.
Oh my goodness. I love it.
Yeah, see, G.I. Keith, you know, because, you know, out there, there's some other names out there. They call them G.I. something. I don't know. But my name is going to be G.I. Keith. You know, we're fighting a big war overseas.
Yeah.
Man, we have to keep all those folks in our thoughts and just make sure, you know, we just keep them, you know, lifted up.
Yeah.
But today's topic, again, this is segment or part three as it relates to the minefields of life. That's what it is. The minefields of life. It's a hidden emotional trigger when women step out of just every day.
So, okay. So you're saying, let me back this thing up
back
here
up,
so I
up.
I can make sure I know what you're talking about here.
Okay.
So you're saying, well, first of all, you mentioned the G.I. Keith just because we want to thank those soldiers and families and loved ones who are out there serving for us. Even if you're not over there, but your loved one is, you're serving too. So we thank you so much for that. So it's almost like you're trying to honor them. Am I getting that right?
If we can, just a little bit.
Okay.
But in light of Women's History Month.
Women's History Month. Yeah, we want to also say, hey, ladies, we remember you. Is that
That's
it?
Right. We do remember you. And look, okay, Dr. Funderburk, I've given you trivia.
Oh,
so
goodness.
Before we get into the topic itself about the minefields.
Yeah.
Dr. Funderburk, I got two trivia questions for you.
Okay.
One is local. One is a national presence.
Okay.
Which would you like first?
Okay, let's go national.
Okay, national.
Mm-hmm.
Identify this lady because of her bloodline and what took place in her blood. It has an international impact.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a black woman.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, who's coming to mind?
Henrietta Lacks.
What?
That's right. Henrietta Lacks and her HeLa sales.
And the HeLa sales.
Mm-hmm. Because Henrietta Lacks' sales, they just never would die.
Right,
so she was able to, you know how it goes, y'all. We back in the day, we were experimented on when we didn't always know, and unfortunately that is what happened with Ms. Lacks. But her cells didn't die the way other cells died in the petri dishes
because she had cancer. It's something about her cancer cells. It was just phenomenally different. And man, the research out there, all the things that they found on Henrietta Lacks or these HeLa cells has had a huge impact in medicine.
I mean, it's still impacting medicine. It has helped us to come up with treatments. And this was, do you know the year?
That she was born in August of 1920.
Okay.
And then she died in October 4th of 1951.
That is not that long ago.
Man, look, my girl here, man, it's amazing about her blood.
Yeah, and of course, you all go and look her up yourself as well. But, you know, because her cells did not die the way everybody else's did, experiments were able to be run on them. But unfortunately, those experiments were done without her permission nor knowledge that this was happening. And she unfortunately died because she wasn't getting treated, but they were experimenting with her. And I think her family recently got some reparations for that?
Right. Just very recently.
I mean, when I say very recently, was it this year or last year?
Something like that, Dr. Funderburk. So Henrietta Lacks, a black woman.
Yeah, responsible for so many health treatments.
That's right.
So when we were saying HeLa sales, y'all, that was real country, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The HeLa is the H-E from Henrietta and the L-A from Lax, and they just put that together. And they're called HeLa sales.
That's right.
Folks in medicine know all about HeLa sales, and it's still talked about today. Yes, today. I know Henrietta Lacks.
There you go. Okay, so I local trivia.
Okay. Oh, okay, I hope I get this one
right.
Yeah.
This is the first black woman that was mayor of Greensboro, North Carolina.
Was that the late Ms. Johnson?
The late Yvonne Johnson.
Oh, I'm so glad I got it right.
That's right. And if I'm not mistaken, Ms. Johnson went to A&T, I believe, or was she a Bennett Bell? Awful.
I think she was Bennett.
But you do know, again, her children, and again, very well, of course, very familiar, of course, with Judge, her daughter and her sons.
Yeah.
So, again, the Johnson family, she recently passed away.
Yeah.
And I think it was a couple of years ago, but wow.
Was it a couple or was it just last
year? Yeah.
It was recent, and she was big. She was big. Yes.
Look, you can't get around Ms. Johnson, Yvonne Johnson. Man, she had a presence about her.
Yeah.
So again, she has a rich history and a rich legacy that she's leaving this area.
Yes. I like those too. Those are great Women's History Month examples. Yes.
Exactly. So again, we'll give you two more for part four, which will be our last one for next week. Okay, Dr. Funderburk here. So we're talking about the minefields of life, this hidden emotional triggers when women step out on every day. Now, when you think about a minefield, you know, we want you to understand that minefields are hidden, you know, so it's not like you're going to walk out and you see that minefield.
Right.
So they're hiding from you.
And you told me just before we started the show here, you told me that minefields could be on land or in water.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about them being in water.
Yeah, because, you know, very recently we've been hearing about with the war, there have been some minefields.
Mm.
And so sometimes about a minefield, it can just blow up.
Mm.
It's hidden from you. It's something that triggers you, and it has this, it can kill you possibly. It can just really have a huge impact on your life. So, Dr. Funderburk, when you think about emotional minefields when it concerns women, what are some of the things that come to your mind?
I'm glad you threw that over to me, because I was just thinking, you know, there are a lot of us as women, we function well externally, but internally we're navigating some minefields or some particular mines, and internally or psychologically, emotionally, those could be moments that unexpectedly trigger a whole bunch of things like shame or anxiety or grief or self-doubt or comparison. And that's really what we want to talk about today. We want to explore how these minds hide in everyday life for women, and how we can recognize them and then disarm them. So just think about this. So if you wake up in the morning, and you wake up, let's say, determined to have a good day. Then you, like a lot of people, you go straight to your phone when you wake up. That's a bad habit, though. Y'all, we've got to stop that. But you open social media, and suddenly, because of the stuff that you're scrolling through on social media, now you're questioning things. You're questioning your body. You're questioning your finances. You're questioning your life choices. And it's only 8:30. Or it's only 6:30. Or it's only, you know, whatever time you happen to pull out social media. So what happened with that? What happened was you stepped on a mine.
That's right. Because, you know, when I look at somebody's picture – Mm-hmm. Man, they got all the cheek, you know, they cheek to cheek.
What, you mean ears, smiling ear to ear?
Yeah, okay, I'm kind of jacked that up. It's all good. But, you know, everybody on that picture, they looked happy.
Yeah.
They with another person. Maybe this is your, used to be your spouse or your boyfriend. They look happy.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, it's like, uh-oh.
So there are some common minefields that we can encounter.
Okay.
One of them that we kind of touched on this one, not kind of, we did touch on this one, I think it was last week, the not enough mine, where you're like, okay, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not successful enough, I'm not young enough, I'm not old enough, I'm not accomplished enough. We are activated by even some of those small triggers that can, it's like it can get at a deep insecurity when you're thinking I'm not enough. And some examples of when those things could get triggered would be when somebody else gets the promotion.
Uh-oh.
Or everybody ages. I don't care who you are and how old you are. So any aging changes that may happen. Definitely the financial stress, because, you know, when the money gets funny, it's like ain't nothing cool. Mm. So all of that feels like I'm not enough, and just being overlooked, you know, that's the one that I wanted to go ahead and kind of put that out there, get that one out of the way, because number one, because we talked about it last week, but also because it's one of those that unfortunately it can just kind of hide in your heart and be there for a long time. You know, I've seen women in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and you can hear that not enough language coming out of just their everyday conversation. Like, you know, oh, well, I'm not even going to try to get dressed up anymore because I'm this age now, or you know, you can kind of hear that talk coming out of them. And it doesn't have to.
No.
It doesn't have to at all.
So again, thank you for listening to the Funderburks, How You Living, a show about life. Again, you got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburk, and y'all, we're talking about something, just everyday minefields of life, but from a women's, I guess I'm calling it the women's edition.
Women's edition, yes, because it's Women's History Month.
Yeah. But you know, it's something about, again, being overlooked. It's like, everybody's like, for some reason, I wasn't able to have a child.
Mm.
Or maybe someone, you know, they always ask me, when are you going to get married?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does that make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, that happened with us, Dr. Funderburk. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day before we did get married, it's like everybody kept coming to you and coming to myself. When y'all gonna get married? When y'all gonna get married? When y'all gonna have kids?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Uh-oh, that's Dr. Funderburk. My girl got some issues. Don't let the glasses fool you. Don't let the glasses or the PhD fool you. She will go there.
Stop it. But I mean, you know, that's what it felt like, you know, when people would ask those questions. And I can see it sometimes when people ask those questions of other women around me, or just, you know, in my presence. I can see that young woman just saying, no, we're fine, or we're just friends, or we're whatever the answer is for the particular question. But it's like, you know what? It may already be an issue or a something that individual has already addressed, and you bringing it up is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are just bringing it up for small talk reasons, just because they don't have anything else to say. But I declare, I didn't like that question.
No, man, that's right. You know, and then another minefield that we see a lot for women is that caregiver exhaustion minefield.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when the care, because a lot of times for women, they're going to often be that caregiver.
Oftentimes, women are the caregivers, even when there are others available. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, the women are the caregivers, and I think that just kind of is one of those genderist things that I don't know if genderist is a word, but if it's not, I'm making it one, so deal with that. Ha.
But you know, but I do want to say this, though. I do want to put this disclaimer out there. Uh-huh. I remember, me, you can be the caregiver, especially on both ends, be it for the child or be it for the aging parent. My dad, he cared for his mother, my grandmother, when she was weak and she couldn't take care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was the caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that example, when before my mother and before she passed away,
mm-hmm.
I was the caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And so, men, we can step up and become caregivers, or at least what I'm calling a co-caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Funderburk, being that caregiver for women, I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, what kind of symptoms do they experience?
Yeah, it's the mind of it's like a chronic invisible pressure when you are the caregiver, especially when the load is uneven. Number one, you can absolutely become burnt out. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you can become burnt out. And sometimes it's a particular woman in the family that is the caregiver. So there might even be other women who are available, and as well as other men who are available. But it's this particular woman who has always had X role in the family, you know, the responsible one, the nice one, the available one, the whatever your role has been, that, you know, you could become the one who ends up being the caregiver. And yes, burnout happens, but also resentment happens.
What do you mean by that, resentment?
Resentment. It's like, I resent seeing you go out to dinner and have a nice family dinner and come back home and just sit around and watch TV, or sit around and do whatever else you might do, because, well, I can't sit around because mama or daddy is calling me. That mama or daddy is being, you know, whatever they're being. And a lot of times I've heard so many examples. I'm using this one as an example because I hear this one a lot as an example. So many folks have a parent that they're caring for who has some level of cognitive impairment, some level of dementia, something like that going on. And it's brutal.
It's brutal.
It's brutal. And because it's brutal, that's why the others don't want to get involved with it.
Yeah.
But somebody has to take it on.
Look, when you're caring for someone that has that, and again, I've been in an environment where you have to care for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and they're not always nice.
No, because, you know, again, this is a medical issue. This is not them.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But when you have to, you know, possibly, you know, change a diaper, maybe have to put on undergarments. You know, I remember back in the day, my mom didn't have dementia, but she didn't have the ability to move. And so I had to change my mom's bra. Wow, that was deep for me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, it's very easy when you have to do some very personal and intimate things for your parents, and you may look at your other family members and it's like, look, you don't know what I'm experiencing on a daily basis.
So that's where the resentment can come in. It's like, I resent having to do this, not because I don't love mama or daddy, but because I'm the only one here and I'm tired. And I'm another thing that can come up is a quiet depression can come up. So I'm burnout, I'm resentful, and now I'm quietly going downhill myself. Yeah. Is what the exhausted caregiver mind kind of triggers for an individual. So they might just, you know, their entire personality starts to shift. And it's not uncommon that the person who is caring for a loved one can go downhill faster than the person that they're caring for.
Yeah, yeah. So the real deal is, mm-hmm. and, you know, and what we want to encourage people, that if you are the caregiver, make sure that you're getting support.
That's I was just going to say that. Who is taking care of the woman who everyone depends on?
Right.
Who is taking care of the woman that everyone depends on? And if you're, you know, I'm sure you've seen that cliche. It's starting to become cliche. Check on your strong friends.
Mm-hmm.
That statement, it's very true. You know, when you look at that family member who's doing everything, you know, send them a thank you gift.
Right.
Send
right.
them a check would be nice.
Right. Look, every now and then.
Send them some unexpected flowers or something. Send them something to say, I see you. I recognize what you're doing, and ask, what do they need?
Look, the Hulk cannot be the Hulk all day.
That's right.
You know, I remember in the past in some of the movies, one of the things that they did to help calm the Hulk is that they touched him.
Yeah.
They gave him a gentle touch, and that allowed that emotion, that anger that he was experiencing to come down. Dr. Funderburg, ding, ding, ding. There's another minefield.
Okay.
And this is the financial stress minefield. Yeah, there you go. Dr. Funderburg, I didn't know you were into all that
sound effects.
Sound, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. Y'all, we're talking about minefields from a woman's edition. Dr. Funderburg, so money issues, it happens to us all. You know, money issues can trigger all types of emotions. It can be fear, shame, panic. You know, sometimes you just feel like a failure.
Because you know why? I should have been there by now. I should have been there by now. I should be, you know, financially stable by now. I should, right? You
right,
have those
right.
shoulds in your life. And that is a cognitive distortion. It's a thought that is twisted, and it keeps you not focused on what really is going on. Because go ahead.
So you said that cognitive distortion. Okay, you know that's a big old word for, you know, for those folks that, you know, like me. I'm like, look, what is that? But the way I heard you said it in the past is like going to the fair. And when you walk into what those mirrors, and it kind of distorts your body image and your face and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so you actually listen to me sometimes.
I listen to you every now and then. I can't do it every day now.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's exactly right. When I say cognitive distortion, you know, cognitive is all things thinking and about the mind. Right. Distortion is where I bring up the funhouse mirrors. You know, you go into those funhouse mirrors and you're like 2 inches tall and maybe 6 feet wide, or your face is just wobbly looking, or, you know, it's distorted. It's twisted now. But what's happening, though, those mirrors, even though everything is twisted and you know, the wrong size and everything, it is reflecting what's in front of it.
Wow.
It's reflecting reality. It's just not an accurate reflection of reality, because you actually are standing in front of that mirror, but you're just not 2 inches high and 6 feet wide, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how these thoughts are. They start to reflect some level of reality, but it's a twisted reality. So when I say cognitive distortions, that's what I mean by that twisted reality, or there's twisted thinking going on. And you can look cognitive distortions up online on your favorite search engine. Just put those two words in, cognitive distortions, and the full list of the things that can be cognitive distortions will come up. And shoulds are one of the cognitive distortions. Those things, when you say, I should be here by now, I should have made it by now, I should be out of this situation, or I should. Those things are not helpful for us, because it's like the shoulda, coulda, woulda. Okay, yeah. What's going on right now? What can you do now? And also, what have you done because a lot of times we have done things, we're not on the timeline that was in our minds. And by the way, where'd you get that timeline from? A lot of times we get that timeline from just culture. We get it from society in general. We get it from just the conversations and comparisons and things like that. So you're not even living on your own timeline. You're living on somebody else's timeline. And why did they get that permission to come up with when you do what in your world? So check that, first of all. And then, you know, just remind yourself that these are the things that I have done. These are the crises that I have survived. Yeah. These are the things that I put into my life and built maybe purposefully into my life. But culture maybe doesn't pay attention to those things as much as they're paying attention to other things. So it's not like we've always just squandered our time and our lives away. Now, there are times that we've made mistakes. Yeah. And you look back and you say, man, gosh, if I wasn't doing that at that particular time, I could have been doing something more productive. That may be true. But again, I go back to the statement, what am I going to do now and going forward from now? We want to have the movement in there so that we're not just stuck in a particular position.
Wow. See, Dr. Funderburk, just listening to you right now, I feel like I'm on your virtual couch. You know, it's something about dealing with these minefields. And again, they come out of the blue and it just hits you. And it's just so many other minefields that take place. We've only got about a minute, Dr. Funderburk.
Okay.
Give me two things quickly that can help me deal with these minefields. How can I kind of disarm it?
Yeah. So the only way to disarm a mine without being hurt by it is to recognize that it's there. So let me back up. Actually, the goal isn't always to avoid every mine in life. We can't avoid every mine. So the goal is to recognize it. You do want to recognize it. If you don't know it's there, you can't do anything with it. You want to recognize it, understand it, and then walk it through. Walk through life with an awareness instead of shame. And so you do that by talking to those trusted people. You do that by getting your own good therapist. You do that by making sure that you're journaling and just getting that stuff out of you so that your brain, your mind can decide how it is going to move forward thoughtfully. Y'all, this show went by so much faster than I thought that it would. And we really hope that some of this information was helpful for you. As always, if you have comments or questions, make sure that you message us at WNAAFM@ncat.edu and join us next week on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.